Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16, we'll be reading two verses there. Well, it's good to be able to read a book every once in a while, but that some man wrote, but to be able to open up our Heavenly Father, the book that He gave us, what a joy it is this morning. I ask you to stand in honor of reading of God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'll read verse 13. You'll join with me on verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all things be done with charity. And let's pray this morning. God, again, we have a great opportunity to be able to open up such a good book that You've given us. I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit's power be upon the message. I pray that You'd help us. As we need You this morning, we need the Holy Spirit to be here. I pray that You'd do this special, prepare in our hearts for the message. In Your name we pray. Amen.
I'll praise Your name, Lord, and sing Your song. I'll praise Your name, Lord, my whole life long. I'll praise Your name, Lord, until I'm home. I'll praise Your name, Lord, and sing Your song.
Your notes are much sweeter than mine, and Your words have reason and rhyme. And Your song will stand through all time. I'll praise Your name, Lord, and sing Your song.
I'll praise Your name, Lord, and sing Your song. I'll praise Your name, Lord, my whole life long. I'll praise Your name, Lord, until I'm home. I'll praise Your name, Lord, and sing Your song.
When things come I can't understand, help me trust You the best that I can. Give peace, Lord, wherever I am. I'll praise Your name, Lord, my whole life long.
I'll praise Your name, Lord, and sing Your song. I'll praise Your name, Lord, my whole life long. I'll praise Your name, Lord, until I'm home. I'll praise Your name, Lord. I'll praise Your name, Lord. I'll praise Your name, Lord, and sing Your song. I'll praise Your name, Lord.
For the good song this morning, I appreciate it. I don't say often enough how much I appreciate the special music folks who prepare and practice and bring us music that honors and glorifies God. And I appreciate your faithfulness. I appreciate those men and their faithfulness. And I want to speak this morning on the need for men. Verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Don't turn to it, but let me read for you 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 12. Be of good courage. This is Joab. And let us play the men for our people. And for the cities of our God, the Lord do that which seemeth Him good. I want to speak on the need for men this morning. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the opportunity to honor and recognize dads on this special day. And Lord, I thank you for the many dads in this church. And I thank you for the dads of this church who have already passed on to heaven. I thank you for my earthly dad, and I know these men do as well. I thank you for men in our lives who, though they weren't our earthly dads, they were an influence. They were a positive influence on our lives for you and for good. And so now, would you please give me the grace this morning that I need to preach your word? I want to be the instrument, Lord, that you would use in these moments, that you'll speak to our hearts and help us. And we give this time to you and ask you to bless it. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. There are some things in life that you just remember clearly. As you get older, there are a lot of things in the past that are not recalled as easily as maybe they once were. But there are some of those moments that just are indelibly imprinted upon your memory. For me, one of those clear as a bell times of recall is when I became a dad. And of course, God gave me that privilege 6 times. And I remember all 6 of those times very clearly. And they were all very exciting. And if you've been a parent of multiple children, you know that birth number 6 is just as exciting as birth number 1. There's none that's not exciting. And so it's not a matter of excitement. They were all exciting and all encouraging, but that first one was just a real eye-opener. It was just a real eye-opener. I remember it well. I remember the labor process and how long it was and how difficult it was. I'm being facetious as a dad, okay? I'm sure some of you ladies would be going, what? But anyway, I do remember the labor process that my wife went through and how difficult it was. I remember the moment of birth. I remember putting my eyes on that little girl before my hands touched her. I remember when the doctor laid the little child on my wife's stomach, and of course, my wife embraced her, and then it wasn't too many seconds or moments later that I got to put my hands upon her. And then I remember driving home after spending time there, going to get some sleep after going all night long in the hospital, and thinking to myself, what am I going to do with a kid? And so I remember that it just don't, you know, the wife walks around for all those months and half of them with that enlarged belly. But I don't know, you know, you just don't think about it until you see the little thing. And it's kind of like, okay, now what am I going to do? So I remember that driving home, and I remember, you know, praying. It was absolutely amazing. And I just want to say again to all the dads, Happy Father's Day. God bless you. Now, I remember that, but I want to direct my message this morning. I'm not preaching just to dads. I want to, because I realize there are some men in the church here this morning who never fathered a child for whatever reason. We have young men here, like Joe and others, who have not yet fathered, or he's just going to be a first-time father in the several months, and some newlyweds here. I want to expand or enlarge my message this morning to include all the men of the church. I've been thinking about you this week, coming up on Father's Day. You know, we live in a really crazy world. And I don't know, folks, how much crazier it can get. Really, I wish there was a way, and maybe that we can do it. For me personally, maybe you don't want to do this, but I'm not looking forward politically to the next, what is it, July, August, September, October, another 4 months. I just am not looking forward to the next 4+ months when it comes to news coverage, because you know what it's going to be. It's just going to be a bunch of junk. It really is. Nobody's really talking anything of any substance. I'm probably an anti-vote more than a pro-vote this fall. And Brother Don Oswardy, Brother Don and I correspond often by email. And I commented on the upcoming election, and he wrote a tremendous response. And so I wrote him back, and I said, Don, do you care if I print that off and give it to people in our church before in the next few weeks or months? And he said, absolutely, and be happy to do that. So, but anyway, I'm not looking forward to that. It's going to be just, we're in bad shape. If that's the best we got to offer, we're in trouble. I hate to say that for our youth. And so, in light of all that, the need has never been greater for men. And strong men, and I'm not just speaking only of the physical part of it, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, in this series we're in on Sunday nights, we're in and out of it on purpose. I don't want to belabor it to where it gets too redundant, because but I'll probably be in that seasons of life. I will be there tonight in a specific message tonight. But I wish I had taken better care of my body when I was younger. Because when you start getting a little bit older, fellas, you start thinking, man, I wish I'd have done this or done that. So if you've got your youthfulness right now, don't let your body go. Don't let your body get out of control. You want your health. You only have one body. So I'm talking physically, being strong. Nothing wrong with that, but I'm also talking along with that strength of spirituality, strength of resolve, strength of perseverance, strength of purity, strength of character. And I could go on and on and on, but maybe Paul said it best in verse 13 when he told the church there in Corinth, quit you like men. Quit you like men. Now, before I give you the paraphrase and the breakdown of the definition of the word, the words there, I want to give you the setting. 1 Corinthians was a letter written to the church at Corinth. You know that. The church at Corinth had multiple and major problems in the church. Bottom line, they were a spiritually gifted people, but they were carnal. They were not spiritual. And once again, folks, that's a great danger. It is possible to exercise a spiritual gift without being spiritual. And the most important thing is to exercise a spiritual gift in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be spiritual. So they had major problems, multiple problems. They were carnal. And so the Holy Ghost gave Paul this letter. It's 16 chapters long in our Bible. A couple of weeks ago, I preached from Romans chapter 16 and showed how it was like a postscript. It was like a P.S. It seemed like Paul really finished what he had to say to the people in chapter 15, and then God gave him some things to say as a P.S., like you and I might do at the end of a letter. This is a little bit different when you come to 1 Corinthians 16. It seems like, you know, chapter 15 ends the main body of the letter. Have you ever written a letter that was lengthy, you covered some things, and then you felt like, okay, I've got to go, so I'm going to write one more paragraph, and you fill that last paragraph with, you know, you're shooting off some things, and that's kind of how chapter 16 is. Paul is closing the letter, and it's just one thing after the other, several things that God wanted him to say to us. And you come to verse number 13, and he says, watch ye. He says, be on guard. I won't preach that. Be on guard. He says, stand fast in the faith. Be unmoving. When it comes to the faith that's once delivered to the saints, that body of truth, be unmoving. Stand fast in the faith. And then he says, quit you like men. We'll come right back. Be mature and responsible. And then he says at the end of verse 13, be strong, which is what it is. Be strong. Now, quit you like men. The word quit means to carry through. It means to do or perform something to the end so that nothing remains. It means to discharge or perform completely. The word quit in this context does not mean stop. Does not mean halt. It means carry through. It means perform. It means perform something to the end so that nothing remains. So if you put it in the context, quit you like men, what Paul is saying, he's saying carry through, do or perform being a man to the end so that nothing remains. Discharge or perform the duties of manhood completely. That's what Paul is saying here. Be a mature, responsible man in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in looking at this exhortation, I want to make some observations from it and say four things today about the need for men. First of all, let me say this. A church needs men. A church needs men. Now, people, there is no disputing the fact, and I referred to this in the June 5th Sunday evening message, There is no disputing the fact that a church could not exist and function without good, godly, faithful, committed women. We just couldn't do that. And the Scriptures in the New Testament is full of commendations to godly females. You need godly older women to be an example to the younger women. You need godly women to handle things in the church that men just aren't created to do. But the bottom line is, a church without men is not going to be as strong as it ought to be. A church needs men. A church needs men in the leadership of the church. I am sorry. I don't mean that I'm not being ugly or my disposition, but friend, you'll never find a case in the Bible where there was a woman pastor or a woman preacher. You just won't find that. Men are to be in the leadership of the church. But not just in the leadership. I mean, look, sometimes you understand when you read the New Testament book of Acts, and Paul was in the business of starting all those churches, there were many women who were saved and baptized and added to the church as the churches got going. But there were men there as well. And it seems obvious to me that an exhortation like this one probably was directed to the men of the church at Corinth. I don't think Paul is going to write to the women and exhort them to quit themselves like men. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's speaking here to the men, and the men would have been challenged to carry through, to perform to the end, to discharge the duties of manhood properly. Quit you like men. And you know, God can use less than ideal circumstances to accomplish great things. But the ideal home has a man in it. And the ideal nation has men in it. And the ideal church has men in it. And I am grateful, as I said 3 or 4 weeks ago, I'm grateful for the men that God has placed in Faith Baptist Church. I am grateful for each one of you. There is something that women bring to a church that men cannot bring. But there is something that men bring to the table that women can't in a local New Testament church. Pardon me, a church needs men, and I am thankful. I said a couple weeks ago that in traveling, you get in churches where sometimes there is just an absence of men. And I just thank God that when you come in here, there's a group of men. I want to say that to you again. A church needs men. And I think Paul is directing this passage, this part of this passage in 1 chapter 16 here, to the men of the church. Quit you like men. Discharge your duties. Don't let anything remain undone when it comes to your manhood. Perform and carry through all the way to the end. Equip yourself like a man. A church needs men. Let me say number two this morning, that a church needs masculine men. A church needs masculine men. Look at verse number 13. At the end of the verse, Paul says, be strong. So he says, quit you like men. And then he says, be strong. Now, there's a real need today for strong men in churches. And I don't mean men who are necessarily loud. I don't mean men who are necessarily aggressive in personality, although I don't think that's wrong. But he's not talking about your personality here. He's not talking about your temperament. He's talking about resolve. He's talking about inner strength. He's talking about leadership. He's talking about our own character, fellas. And he's saying, be strong, be masculine. Now, you know, it wouldn't be wrong to speculate that Corinth and most large cities in America and the world today are pretty similar. Corinth was the seat of a local Roman government. It was a local, like a county seat for the Roman government. And it was noted for its immoral and vicious habits of the people who lived there. They worshipped the goddess Venus. I cannot go into detail about what that worship was like in mixed company. Just suffice it to say this, the worship of Venus was marked by shameful promiscuity and licentiousness. It was a wicked and a vile city, much like the cities in this country. Now look, I am sorry that a guy takes a gun and kills 49 people. But I am not bending on the fact that homosexuality is an abominable sin. It's an abominable sin. I'm glad they can get saved. If God hasn't given them up to a reprobate mind. But if you've listened to the news at all, the whole tenor of the commentary is embracing. We're not embracing that sin. Stop. It's wicked. It's vile. And as a man, if you've ever, or a woman, if you've ever read and you don't really want to because it fills your mind with junk, what goes on in those type clubs is absolute filth and vile behavior. Much like Corinth. Much like Chicago. Much like Atlanta. Much like Dallas. Much like major cities all over this country and around the world. And no wonder Paul wrote the men. I believe, of course, the Bible's for everybody. But I think you have to say he's not going to tell women in the church to quit themselves like men. He's directing these comments to the male membership of the church in Corinth. And no wonder in the context of the city of Corinth that Paul wrote to them and exhorted those men to be strong. It takes strong men to lead a home in a wicked society. It takes strong men to lead a church in the midst of a wicked society. It takes strong men. And folks, if there's anything this culture is doing on a daily basis through the media and from Hollywood, it is undermining the position of men and cutting your legs out from underneath you. And I understand. Look, I'm not for abusive men. I turned a man in to the DCFS for kicking his kids. There's no place for that. But that doesn't negate the fact that God looks for and expects and needs men to be strong and to be masculine. I read that verse in 2 Samuel chapter 10. Now here's the setting. The Ammonites and the Syrians joined together to fight against the Israelites. And David sent Joab and Abishai, they were brothers, to fight with them. And Joab is the guy in charge. And as they are preparing their battle plans and getting ready to engage the enemy, Joab said to the leaders, he said, "Be of good courage and let us play the men." Let us play the men. What's he talking about there? Quit you like men. Discharge your duty. Be a man. Perform and manage the duties of manhood all the way through to the end. Equip yourself like a man and be strong. Live up to your role. Discharge your duty. Carry through to the end. Be strong. And part of being strong includes masculinity. Masculinity. Now, of course, that we understand that involves what's inside a man. But in our day and age, it involves what's outside on the man, too. And fellas, you can, boys especially, and dads in the home, you do not want your home trending to this effeminate dress, hairstyles that the young boys in a lot of places are adopting today. It's a blending of the genders, to where there is no distinction. Cut their hair. Put man's boys' clothes on them. I'm going to hit this on a Sunday night in this series. But what you young couples need to do is to look down the road a few, if you've got the little bit of children, look down the road a few years to when they're 19 or 20. What do you want them to be when they're 19 or 20? Start them out as that now. You don't wait till they're 16, 17. You don't dress them like little Lord Fauntleroy. And then expect them to be a man. Dress them like men. Cut their hair like men. Masculinity. Be strong. That's what he's saying here. And then, of course, it would involve lazy, not being lazy and no initiative and this little or no character and laying in bed till noon and roaming the streets till midnight and filling the hours playing video games and living off government hands out. That's a far cry from playing the man. Play the man. Play the man. I've said it before, but just for sake of new people and folks coming in, I will never forget having a hysterical mother and wife who was absolutely beside herself because her husband came home from work, stayed up till 5 o'clock in the morning playing video games, was late for work, and lost his job. You say, he must have been 21 years old. No, he had several children. He was in his 40s. I'm going to tell you, you get quiet in here. It's an epidemic. It's an epidemic. House doesn't get taken care of. The grass doesn't get cut. Bushes don't get trimmed. Downspouts don't get fixed. Place looks like a dump. Kids are growing up with no character, no work ethic being taught. If that's you and you're a man, you better get a grip on it. Better get a grip on it. We're talking about masculinity. We're talking about the kind of men that God needs. God, a church needs men, and a church needs masculine men. I'm grateful for the masculinity of the men in the church, and I'm grateful for your work ethic, whether it involves a hammer or a keyboard. If it involves your brawn or your brain or both, I am glad for the work ethic and the masculinity of the men in the church. I am grateful for your initiative. I'm grateful for your character. I'm grateful for your attention to responsibility. And boys, listen, you boys, you know what you boys are right now? You are men under construction. You're men under construction. You look at some of these men in the church who are good work. They have a good work ethic, and they are faithful, and they have character, and they have initiative, and they put their hearts in what they do, and they dress like men, and they look like men, and they walk like men, and they talk like men. That's what you want to be when you grow up, masculine. So a church needs men. A church needs masculine men. Be strong. Number three, a church needs unselfish men. By the way, why do you keep saying a church? Because this letter was written to a church. Written to a church. A church needs unselfish men. Now, in that same verse in 2 Samuel chapter 10, listen to this. Joab exhorts the soldiers, here it is again, to play the men for our people. In other words, the well-being of the people depended on these men stepping up to the plate. They needed to step up to the plate, putting their own well-being at risk to secure the security or to pursue the security of others. And fellas, it is interesting to me that God instructs the husbands in Ephesians 5:28 to love their wives as their own bodies. You ever stop to think about that? And then he says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherisheth it. So, Pastor, what is Paul, what is he talking about there? He's talking about the fact that men take care of themselves. Men look out for themselves. That's our nature. We naturally are very self-oriented. When we're hungry, we get something to eat. When we're thirsty, we get something to drink. On the trip, when the kids say, Daddy, I'm hungry, you'll have to wait. Daddy, I'm thirsty. We're not stopping now. And then an hour later, when the car's going off the exit ramp and the wife says, What are you doing? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Dad doesn't stop. Dad doesn't ask that, hey kids, is it okay if I get something to drink? Dad gets it. That's the way it is. We need to change that. Good luck. We brush our own hair. We comb our hair. And we brush our teeth. We need something. We get it. A man provides, protects, and preserves himself. And God doesn't condemn that. In fact, that's how He made us. Then He said, now you turn around and you take how I made you with this self-protective, self-preserve, self-providing spirit, and you do that for your wife. And you do that for your kids. You do it for somebody else. How He made us. I get so irritated sometimes because even good people, saved people, don't take time to stop and think. A lot of times men and women are like they are because that's how God made us. But He didn't make us that way to consume it upon our own lusts. Does that make sense? And play the men for our people. You be a man. Be a man. Fill up the role of manhood. Discharge your duties. Take it all the way to the end. Don't leave anything undone for your wife, for your kids, for other people. Fellas, I'm making you unique. I'm making you special with this self-providing, self-preserving, self-protecting spirit. Now you take that and you do that for the people you love in life. And a church needs men who live unselfishly. Who live unselfishly. Who live with the needs of their wives and their children and other people in mind. So a church needs men. A church needs masculine men. A church needs unselfish men. Then let me say last of all this morning, don't leave me yet. I've got a few minutes left here. A church needs men who stand in the hedge. I know this is not a deep message this morning. I know that. But I think it's practical and helpful for the fellows. Ezekiel 22:30, God said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Now, many of you have heard my message on snakebite when I speak about the importance of everybody being under their proper authority. Quickly here, and I'll just use you. Just jump up since you're the first one in line here. And I remember, and Todd, jump up here, would you please? Ryan, jump up here. Come on, Luke and Mike. And remember how we did? Remember the snake bite message, right? Okay. And so we got this circle of authority around Trent here. God gives Trent a dad, and gives him a pastor, and gives him a Sunday school teacher, and gives him a youth director. And the reason God puts all of these men in Trent's life is to act like a hedge and keep him safe from the evil one, who would get at him if he could, but he can't break through the hedge. Okay, and that sermon, what do? We encourage the young people, stay in the hedge, right? But I'm going to turn it around this morning. Stay in the hedge. You get out of place, Brother Todd. Look at here. You are the hedge. We are us. Okay, thank you, fellas. I just want to do that quick. So, stay in the hedge. Yes, as a young person, stay under the authority. But men, you are the hedge. And disastrous results take place when men leave their spot. And you know, I just couldn't help but think as I was putting this message together about Larry, I was thinking about you and how thankful I am that that little boy over there has something you never had. Because your dad left his spot. Christ has saved you and changed you and grown you. The church needs men to stay in their place, stay in the hedge for their wife, stay in the hedge for their kids, stay in the hedge for those you have influence over. And by the way, men, every one of you, you may think to yourself, well, I don't even have any children or grandchildren in the church. You are a part of the hedge that keeps this church safe. Stay in your place. Stay in your place. We were out in Ohio. We told about this. My nephew got married yesterday. My brother who's in heaven, his boy, Matt. And it was a wonderful time. It was short. It was a wonderful time. And on Friday night, his bride-to-be at the rehearsal supper did something that was, I thought, extremely unselfish of her. She and one of her bridesmaids put together a PowerPoint video presentation of Matt and his dad. From the time he was a little guy. And she got up and she said, "You know, we're very tickled and very pleased with all the people who are here tonight, but we realize that there's one who's not here. And we didn't want to forget him." Pretty tough. See, that big old tall boy, 6'8", just put his head in his handkerchief and weep. It's tough on Dad and Mom. But it needed to be done. And it was done in the right way, and it was done at the right time. But you know what blessed me? Was sitting in that rehearsal where men in the church who, after my brother went to heaven, stood in the gap for my nephew. Does that make sense? Because Tom went to heaven before Matt started dating Liz. Tom went to heaven before Matt graduated from college. There was 3 or 4 men in the church out there who stepped in. And although they couldn't take his place, they filled the gap. I was talking with one of those men and I thanked him. I said, "I want to thank you. I'm 5 hours away. My brother in Florida is 12 hours away. We can't be here." He said, "Terry," he said, "Matt and I would get together about twice a month on Saturdays for breakfast. And we'd talk about things." There was a man in the church who just stood in the gap. And men, there are young boys around here who need somebody to stand in the gap. There are young ladies who need somebody to stand in the gap. A manly figure. I don't mean inappropriately. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm just talking about being an influence and a help and an encouragement. And standing in the hedge. Standing in the gap. Boy, church needs men. A church needs men. This is a crazy day and age. Lots of opportunity, yes, I'll admit that, but lots of temptation. And can I say this in closing to you men this morning, fellas? You don't have to be superstars. You don't have to be. You don't have to be Batman Christian. You may look at yourself and say, "You know, I can't preach or teach. I can't sing. I really..." Yeah, but you're a man. And there's something about the influence of men. You just need to be a good Christian. Just be faithful. That's what God needs. Just faithful, good men. I think about that song once in a while. Somebody sings it around here. What this dying world could use is a willing man of God who dares to go against the grain and works without applause. A man who'll raise the shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle. A man whose word is sure. God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away. He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who will face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who will fight for freedom and honor once again. God just needs a few good men. I'm thankful for you. I really am. I love you, man. Our church needs you. Men, masculine men, unselfish men, men who stand in the gap. Boy, we're in great need, aren't we? Let's pray together. Father, bless these men. Thank you for them. Yeah, I'm not trying to be gooey, but I'd love to just have a moment to pray with you. If you'd like to just come to the altar, member, visitor alike, it doesn't matter. If you can't, that's fine. My Father, I bow before you this morning with a very thankful heart. I'm grateful for these, my brothers. God, I pray that you'll strengthen us. I pray that, God, you'll help us to quit ourselves like men, to be the man you want us to be. God, we fall short. We're grateful for your forgiveness and your compassion. Grateful that you're able to take our shortcomings and still use us and help us to be an influence for right and for good. And I pray that you'll bless these, my good brothers. Lord, help them, I pray. It's not an easy thing to lead a family today. Work countless hours. Take care of all that comes along in life. But I pray that you'll give us grace. And I thank you for this number of men kneeling at this altar this morning. Maybe for those, Lord, who couldn't come, kneel. Please fill us with your Spirit's power. Please keep our hearts clean and pure. Please help us to honor you. Bless us, Lord, please, to be the men that you need, that our church needs. We acknowledge, God, our inability in ourselves, but we are thankful that you are sufficient. Strengthen us, help us, bless us to be the kind of men you're looking for. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Ladies, you play a song, and if you want to come kneel and pray, you can. If you want to return to your seat, let's stand together. If you're not saved, I would invite you to come this morning. Somebody can take a Bible and show you how to know for sure you're going to heaven. If you've not been baptized, why don't you come this morning and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I see folks here who just recently have been baptized, and thank God for them.